Hello, world. It's the Ladies of Nerditude again. My name is Jill.
And I'm Francine.
This week, we're going to talk about Buffy Slays 20.
Yay! I'm so excited. Slash, I feel really old.
I was going to say, I feel a lot of feelings. Some good, some kind of making me question my mortality, that sort of thing.
How has it been 20 years?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know. I didn't even think about it until they started, like, posting all the stuff on Twitter of like, oh, we're going to do our reunion photo shoot. And I was like, wait, for what? Oh my God, what? Yeah. Yeah. I remember like when my parents were like, oh my God, what do you mean Jaws came out 25 years ago? And I was like, yeah, guys.
The movie's like super old. And now you're like.
Now I'm like, wait, what?
20 years of what?
It's like Friends being on Nick at Night. What the fuck?
Okay. Quick story. I went on Netflix the other day, and they have a category on my Netflix called Retro TV. Friends and Lost were both on the Retro TV category.
I'm sorry, Lost?
I almost threw up in my mouth. Yep. Friends and Lost.
Oh, my God. What?
Retro TV. I know. It being on Nick at Night is bad. Friends being on Nick at Night is bad. Them calling it Retro TV is worse.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How's that for your mortality?
I'm not even 30 yet. Like, I turned 30 this October, and I remember when Friends premiered.
I know. I remember talking about it in the high school lunchroom.
Oh, I know.
Oh, my gosh, Ross and Rachel, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Now we're on a break. Yeah, I know.
Ancient.
Yeah, so.
So, anyway.
Yeah, so Buffy came out 20 years ago.
Holy crap.
And I need to lie down. So.
And watch Buffy.
And watch Buffy.
I know.
And the horrible 90s-ness of it.
The awesome 90s-ness of it is what you mean. I know. The clothes were terrible.
Yeah.
They didn't even have cell phones until like season 7.
No, and they were like cell bricks. Phone,
and they were like huge. Well, they had the flip phone, remember?
Yeah.
When they were in the basement of the high school and they were all, I can't hear you. My flip phone's not working.
I know.
P.S. That was 2003.
Well, and I just. My life.
I know.
That was 14 years ago. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Yeah. So, too bad we don't have a drink right now. I need a drink, but.
Yeah. We'll do a little shot in remembrance of Buffy season 6.
Oh, my goodness.
It'd be a whole thing. Do a little tequila shots.
We don't do tequila. But vodka. Let's do this.
I see.
I don't even know, like, where to start. Really, because I mean you're the big Buffy fan, but I love it so much. But it was a big part of my coming of age, I guess.
I feel like that's true for a lot of girls our age, especially guys too. Like, I'm not gonna knock the guys who love like Buffy and feel like it was a really important part of their.
If there's a man out there who loves Buffy, I love him.
So. I'm thinking of Vinny specifically.
Oh, Vinny,
because I love Vinny. He loves him some Buffy.
Oh yeah,
hi Vinny, if you're listening.
Hello.
But yeah, I feel like it was part of me feeling. More like a teenager, like me understanding what it's like to be a teenager and how hard it is to be a teenager.
Yeah, and you didn't even have to kill vampires.
Right, and how scary it is. And I think that's the genius of this project for Joss. Granted, he was probably never a teenage girl.
Probably.
You know, whatever.
Who knows?
But he loved that idea of like taking the girl that always dies in the horror movie, like the blonde, bubbly cheerleader, and turning her into a badass superhero, which right there, I'm like, yes, awesome, wonderful, amazing. And then he went and like stacked on top of that, high school is like literal hell.
Yeah.
So if you went to school on a hellmouth, how would it take the horrors of high school and like, literally make them hellish, like demonize them. And that was freaking genius.
Genius.
It's genius.
Like the only word I can think of it.
It's genius.
Yeah, some of those episodes, I mean, some episodes are campy, obviously.
Oh, yeah. There was,
but then there's other ones where I'm like, oh my God, I totally see what you did there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were some that were brilliant and like super deep, and I still feel like they taught me a lesson. About my life. Like, I still feel like I learned something. And then there's horrible ones where you're just like, oh my really? God. It wasn't all great.
Beer Bad was not.
Oh, that was terrible.
That was not a good
terrible.
One.
I didn't like
I got the metaphor, but
yeah, it was a little like beating the horse. You know, you were just like, okay, we get it.
Even the title of the episode is Beer Bad. So
we get it. But I feel like I still love me a Buffy rewatch. It holds up on rewatch.
Oh, yeah.
Even if some of it's way more silly than you remember it being.
Yeah, the fashion just, like pulls me out of it for a second.
Yeah.
But I'm okay with that.
Or when you're like, why is everyone like not able to find each other? And then you remember, oh, it's
they
because
don't have cell phones.
No one had a cell phone. And apparently like you can use a payphone to call someone's house phone. But if they're not there, you just leave a message and hope that they get it.
I forgot about the payphones.
Right? Like, and you have to set up like, hey, I'll meet you in the library in 10 minutes because you can't like text them and be like, hey, I'm at the library. Like, so that takes me out of it for a second because it's a lot of like, this plot could be solved in 10 minutes with the Google Maps, you know, but like you don't have that.
Turn your GPS on, yeah. Buffy. Yeah. Like, or like the episode specifically that kind of takes me out of it is the one with Malcolm.
Ugh.
The
iRobot Eugene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where
the internet is scary.
Yeah. And then, like, they're scanning the books, and, like, those computers are so ancient, and Giles is like, oh, this technology. And I'm
this
like,
this new technology.
And she's like, I'm a techno pagan. And everybody's like, okay, Miss Calendar. Like,
yeah. I use a floppy disk.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. The disk. I forgot about that.
It's like a literal floppy disk. Like, if you could have saved it to the cloud, that episode would have never happened.
I know, because Angelus would have been like, mm-hmm. oh, when he picks up the computer and he's like, oh, your secrets are in here, and he smashes the computer.
So I'm gonna set it on fire.
And I was like,
seriously,
okay,
that's not how this works. I know you're like 200,
that gigantic,
but that's not how this
Mac
works
computer. Oh my god. With the paper that prints out, and it's got like the holes on the side of it. Yeah.
The dot matrix printer.
Yeah.
It was state of the art.
Yeah. But those are the only thing, that and the hair. That's what takes me out of it.
The hair.
But like,
I think all the plastic in the clothing.
Yeah.
Is a lot.
The blonde highlights can be extreme at sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. The butterfly
tips.
Clips. Chokers. All the spiky hair, the chokers. Like it was. Who was so 90s? The dusters, like those long, like women. I had a closet full of them.
Was that really specific to the 90s, though? I mean,
I remember being in high school, like 90s, early 2000s, and I feel like that's coming back again now. But when was the Delia's catalog not like full of those fuzzy sweaters that were also dusters? Like it was like a sweater, but then it went down to your knees.
I get it.
And it only had like one button or like a tie.
All right. You make a good point.
I so loved those. They were awesome.
I had like two or three.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had like 10. I had a lot. It was like every day.
I just liked them because like if my t-shirt ended up being too short when I bent over, like nobody knew because my sweater was really long.
Well, and I thought they were super cool.
Well, yeah.
With like the big bell sleeves. And, like,
oh, the bell sleeves.
I loved that shit. Like I was all about it. I had one that was suede.
Oh my.
Oh yeah. I was like the net. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Moving on. We already talked about nerd trauma.
I know. But I love revisiting that world and like revisiting the story. It's always exciting and heartbreaking and like emotional and sad. Like it always, no matter how many times you've seen it, no matter how many times you like already know what's going to happen, it still hits me every time. And I think that's the mark of a great show.
Well, yeah. And then there's episodes that I'll forget like little details about it. And then I go back and I rewatch it. And it's like this, it's even more genius than I remember it being.
Yeah. You're so, like, oh, that's wow.
Oh, yeah. That happens a lot. So
it's great. It's just it gives me this like warm, fuzzy feeling.
Yeah.
Inside, like even.
It's like
even
finding
when
your old slippers.
Yeah. Yeah. Or looking through your high school yearbook when you're like, oh, yeah, that was great. Like, that was crazy. You know, like, wow, how did I ever, you know, and you have all these mixed feelings about it.
Yeah.
And yet you have that feeling of like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. I do remember that.
That's kind of awesome. I love
that. Yeah. And it, for me, like, the reason I always think it's a big deal, especially to me, is because growing up in the middle of nowhere, mm-hmm. very rural area, being feminine was viewed as, like, a weakness where I was. So, like, if you liked pink frilly things, I guarantee you that you got made fun of and all that stuff. And it was seen as, like, I thought people like Buffy, who were cheerleaders and who liked going to the mall and stuff, like, you fucking idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, I just thought automatically because you like these things, you're an airhead.
Right.
And watching that show was one of the things that made me realize, oh, actually, that's probably not the case.
Yeah.
And it's okay to like pink frilly things and still be a badass. So.
Yeah. Well, and her best friend was like a nerdy, like computer, you know? So
with those terrible sweaters.
With those terrible sweaters and the bucket hats.
Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. But I mean, like the fact that she was this. You know, she came from her other school and she's like super popular and cheerleader and homecoming queen and all that. And then she like makes friends with this dorky, like awkward pair. Cause let's face it, they were both dorky and awkward.
Oh, yeah.
And that becomes like her new family. Mm-hmm. And then to watch them grow and like become a true family. Oh, I get chills just thinking about
it. I love it.
The story. I know you love working as a team and like a family story.
Oh my God, don't even.
And I feel like that's I feel like that's the crux of Joss. Like he loves to create a family that's not bound by blood.
Mm-hmm.
There are some blood relationships in Buffy, like, you know.
Annoying ones.
That's not the crux of what like holds them together. It's their experiences and the fact that they like can lean on each other and trust each other. That's what makes them a family. And I just love that.
Yeah.
It makes my heart so happy.
Makes me cry.
I have little goosebumps right now. Oh. It's just a great story. And
it
I think, yeah. What would you say? I'm throwing a question at you out of left field.
Okay.
So there are 7 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite villain? Individual episode, season long villain, your choice.
Oh my God, this is so easy.
Pick a fave. Who's your favorite?
Season 2.
Okay.
I love Spike and Drew, but my favorite villain is Angelus.
Yeah.
Because he is the scariest villain of anything I think I've ever seen.
Yeah. I could definitely agree with you there. He's definitely a terrible human. Terrible vampire. Like just every phase of his life, he's a pretty horrible person.
He's so
gross.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Like gross. Creepy and utterly terrifying. I mean, he's murdering teachers. He's when he goes into Willow's house and he kills all of her goldfish and puts them in that envelope, I'm like, what the fuck?
Like this is a new level of creepy.
That is so, and that's the thing is like, because he was this trusted ally and Buffy's boyfriend and everybody's like, oh no, he's a good vampire. Well, everybody's but Xander, but like, and I'm like, you know, Xander's in the background. Like, told you guys, I don't like, I said this was going to happen, but
I knew we shouldn't have trusted him, which yes, Xander, you're right. But at the same time, shut up.
Yeah. So, but just that thought of like, yeah, you could go home and he could be in the house. Yeah. Like you don't even have that protection of like he's not invited
because you invited him into your house because you thought he was good.
Yeah, and also
Willow did, Giles did, Buffy did.
He knows what you're scared of. He knows your weaknesses and all these things. And it's not that he's not there to kill you. That was my other thing that I was afraid of. Is like he is more there to turn you into Drusilla. Mm-hmm. He's there to torture you into insanity.
Yeah. And enjoy
it. And then he'll kill you.
Like with a song in his heart. Like with a skip and a whistle. He will destroy your life.
Yeah.
And then kill you. But like wait until you really want to die.
Yeah.
And then make you immortal.
Yeah.
Horrifying.
Yeah. He's utterly terrifying. And the fact that he like scares other monsters.
True.
Is like telling. Mm-hmm. So what about you?
I definitely agree that Angelus is probably the scariest villain. My favorite villain, I think. This is hard.
I feel like I know what you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
You're going to say the mayor, aren't you?
I love him.
That's a good one, though.
I love him. And the reason that I love him is because I feel like he's so quaint.
I know. And so like, leave it to Beaver.
He's just so, and that makes it so much creepier that he can flip that switch and be like, also, I'm going to stab you in the face because you didn't do what I told you to do. And that's just not acceptable here. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not okay. It's not right. And it's not okay. And I'm going to have to murder you now.
His relationship with Faith was interesting.
The whole thing. I mean, I think that he was introduced at a great point in the season because they or in the show, because they kind of built up to him. Like, they name dropped like the mayor knows things. And then you find out like, oh, he's a supernatural big bad. Mm-hmm. Then he also plays like a surrogate father role to Faith, who's like the dark double of Buffy. It was just genius writing. Like, the storytelling was great. And I love that he would be like, oh yeah, it's, let me pull out my to-do list, get a haircut, go to the PTA meeting, become immortal. Like, it's just become invincible. Just hilarious. Like, he was a great villain. He tickles me pink. I find him hilarious. I love him.
Yeah. When they blow him up at the end, he's like, oh gosh. I just about pass out every time.
Oh man, he's just a great over the top, like super over the top villain who you can tell is really dark on the mm-hmm. inside, but he's so old. He's so ancient. It's just like he is the 50s dude. And like, you will either conform or he'll be like, that's just not appropriate.
Suburban hell. Yeah.
I just love him. He cracks me up.
He's good. I like him.
He's not the worst villain. Like, he's not the scariest or like the most evil. I enjoy him.
Oh yeah.
I love him.
Oh yeah. He's good. But what was your favorite season?
I feel like it's really hard because I love the first season, as campy as it is.
Yeah.
It has the best ending. The first season, like, finale is just fabulous. So I love the first season for the season finale. The opener and the season finale, awesome. Mm-hmm. Like, great bookends to that season. The strongest season, I would say, is season two.
Oh, yeah.
It has the best story. It's like, I mean, talk about a metaphor, right? You like sleep with this guy and then he literally turns into like a murderer.
Yeah.
The worst person in your life. I mean, Joss, that's creepy. But seriously, like, it gives you, makes you think as a teenage girl. You're like, whoa, well, that's just fucking scary.
Yeah.
Great season. Season three was also really good. Mm-hmm. That was a great season. I think season two is probably the strongest season.
It's my favorite.
I think it's the strongest season. I love the end of season four.
Season two is my favorite, but season five is a very close season second. Season five
is great, even though it has Dawn.
Aside from Dawn.
Even with Dawn, season five is really great.
Yeah, and I bawl at the end of season five every time.
It's true. No, it's true. It's hard to pick like a favorite season because I have different reasons, sure. But I love all the seasons. I think season six had great storytelling. Way dark. Like, holy crap, they went down a hole.
Yeah.
But the story could take it at that point. Like, it was the right time. Mm-hmm. To have her like crash into adulthood and to have all this shit go down. And like, it made sense and it was great story. Mm-hmm. Even though I still am like, like, I just, I weep through all of season six. Had some great individual episodes.
It did. What about season seven? How do you feel about that one?
I wish they had taken out a few stories from season seven. I feel like they were like, it's our last season. Throw everything in there. It was a lot going on.
Like, what should they have removed?
I don't know. I feel like the first was a great way to harken back to like season one. Like, it was a great kind of reflection across season four. There was great reflection from like 3 and 5, 2 and 6, 1 and 7. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. However, I feel like with Caleb, the first evil, the Slayers in training,
the Uber vamps.
I think we could have cut some of the fat there.
The Dawn
being in high
mouth.
School, the Hellmouth, like, it was so much. I feel like maybe if we had had a few fewer Slayers in training, we could have focused on them a little bit more. Andrew, I love him to death. He was a lot added to that story.
He seemed a little unnecessary.
I love him. He's a great character. However, I think it was a lot, like, on top of everything else. I think the Uber vamps were weird. I understand they had to give, like, a physical thing for them to fight. Mm-hmm. But they kind of had that in Caleb. So maybe we could have picked one or the other. Like, had Caleb introduced earlier. Mm-hmm. And have him be, like, the hand of the first evil.
Yeah.
So that you had a dual big bad that way.
Yeah.
I feel like we could clean it up and polish it up a little bit. And to have that at the same time as, like, Spike's crazy in the basement. Oh, yeah, there's a basement at the new school, which is also a whole thing because Buffy has a job and the principal and his Slayer mom. And, like, it was just so much was happening.
I did have a problem with Principal Wood.
Did you not like him?
No. I liked him. But here was my beef with that. We're going to go down the race hole.
Okay.
Like, there are no other black people in Sunnydale, right?
There was Mr. Trick.
Okay, right. And then the Jamaican Slayer, Kendra.
Kendra. But she came because of the Hellmouth. But
so did Mr. Trick.
So did Mr. Trick.
So, to me, it was like, okay, just because he's black, he's related to Nikki. Like, I know it's kind of like a stretch, but to me, it's like, I feel like my one gripe with Buffy the Vampire Slayer was, like, there was not enough diversity in that show. Not enough
diversity, sure.
And I really don't like when they did the same thing in the new Ghostbusters movie where it was like, oh, yeah, the black lady's related to Winston.
Mm.
And it was like, really?
Yeah. They could have, stretched their legs a little bit more and, like, made them individual.
Not all people of color are related to each other. Mm-hmm. Not all, like, why was that? That bothered me.
Yeah. No, I get it.
So that was my gripe. But.
But I did like his story.
I did.
Although it was creepy that he decided to date another Slayer. I feel like he had serious mom issues. And we didn't get enough time to explore fully any one of the many, many, many pegs that they had in the board during season 7. So everything got this, like, surface level treatment, but we didn't they chose to dive deep in certain spots, but it was all kind of disjointed because there wasn't a focus besides let's wrap this party up. Like, that was the focus.
And I felt like the big bad was a weak villain. So, because, like, I know that you can't kill the first evil because then there's no evil. And then, that just doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the fact that you couldn't, like, lay a hand on it at all was, like, so we're fighting a villain that you literally can't even touch.
Yeah. And I think that's why weird. They needed something other than the Uber vamps, which came out of the seal, which don't have a direct relationship to the first evil. Like, they do, but it's not the same way that, like, the Master and the Aurelians were in the first season. That was, like, a much tighter connection, and it made a focus for the season. Right. This didn't have that to me. So I wish there was a little bit more. Like, I think if they had introduced Caleb earlier and had him, like, picking off the Slayers in training.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been cool.
Also Nathan Fillion.
Also more Nathan Fillion, right?
Yeah.
That would have been cool.
Yeah.
I think that would have given more, like, sharp focus to the season. And then it would have put into sharper relief the whole male versus female, like, the shadow men versus that, like, hippie chick in the pyramid and with the scythe and, like, those themes were there. And if you look hard enough and, like, squint and tilt your head, like, you can see it, but it got a little muddy in with all the other stuff that was going on.
Totally.
So liked season 7 well enough. It's the only season I feel like I wish was different from what it was. Every other season, fair. I'm like, you know what? I have my loves, I have my hates, but, like, I liked it the way that it was. Season 7, I wish it was a little bit different. I feel like a bad Buffy fan saying that. Oh,
my God. I'm writing Joss a text right now. I know.
Listen, Joss, if you want to take this up with me, I will gladly have that conversation with you. Also, are you hiring?
Yeah, also, can I please work at Mutant Enemy?
I would love that.
I would pass out. Yeah. Do you have like a particular favorite episode, singular?
The musical episode is probably one of my favorites. I just love it. And I love, okay, I love musicals.
You do.
I'm like a show tunes musical fanatic. So if I could sing along with it, I'm hooked. Like, it had great music. And Joss wrote the music with his wife, which is just fabulous because it's hilarious. Okay, so here's all my reasons. This is my love letter to Once More With Feeling. It's got great music. The actors pull off the singing and the dancing really, really well. And I know that shit was hard. And they were like, Joss, why are you doing this to us? We hate this. Yeah. And like, it comes off really well in the end. So I feel like all the effort was worth it. It's funny. It's a really funny episode. It's got heart. It's really sad. It's like, it makes you feel. It's got everything that a great musical has. And it is meta. But it also matters to the story.
True.
They didn't just like insert a musical episode and be like, musical, because they had a reason it was a musical. It affected the rest of the season. It sets up relationships that blossom and like change between people. It mattered. And I think that is a stroke of genius.
Oh, yeah.
To do something so different and to take that risk. At that time, there weren't musical episodes on like, no. Every TV show, particularly your like teenage TV, like teenage your drama, weird
vampire show,
way before Glee.
Yeah,
they took this risk and they like did this thing, and it was brilliant. Like that is the episode that I use to introduce people to Buffy. I'm like, go watch the musical episode because it's funny. It's got heart. It's beautiful. It's beautifully shot. It's lit gorgeously. Like everything is just, I'm a technical theater nerd too. It's great TV. It's fabulous. That and then a follow up would be Hush because I love that episode too.
That's a good one.
It's a great episode.
Excellent choices.
Hush. What's your favorite? Very
creepy.
I know it's hard.
Fool for Love.
Great episode. Definitely in my top 10.
Because Spike is my homeboy and
we're both team Spike.
I fucking love Spike.
I love his character. I love everything about his character.
Well, no, but I liked that episode because anytime I get to know a backstory from somebody,
yes.
And especially somebody who's been so mysterious for so long, like basically all we knew was he was from England.
Well, we assume
he was with Drusilla.
He knew Angel.
He knew Angel. And he kind of knew Darla.
And he's like this punk badass.
Yeah.
That's really
And
it.
I loved, and again, with a fucking stroke of genius, that he was a total loser.
Oh, he's so precious.
I know.
William, I just...
And it just breaks my heart every time when he goes over there and he's telling Cecily how he feels.
I can't even.
And she's like, you're beneath me. And you can just see the moment where he just snaps.
Yeah.
And
changes his whole.
And breaks his heart into a million pieces. And of course he goes out and gets made into a vampire later that night. And I don't know if you read the Extended Universe books.
I haven't.
I don't know if they're necessarily considered canon for the show, but I read one and it was about like the in-between time, like from when he becomes a vampire to like when he and Drusilla show up in Sunnydale.
Because we get like little snippets of it throughout like the seasons. We see him kill the Slayers. We see them at like hiding in the tunnels.
Yeah.
We see like little bits and pieces,
but it really stuck with me because it shows how he disposes of the people from the party who were making fun of him. So those guys who were like, oh, I heard they called him William the Bloody because of his bloody awful poetry.
So we get the whole Spike, Railroad Spike backstory.
And it goes into him torturing them with railroad spikes. And he has like a reason. I mean, that guy says, I would rather be... run through with a railroad spike, and he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, well, then let's do that. And I think if I recall, I can't remember the name of the book, but as he's killing them with the railroad spikes, he's reciting his poetry.
Oh, gosh.
And he's like, are you sure it's that bad?
That's kind of dark.
Yeah. So, but anyway, Fool for Love. I love that episode.
It's a great episode.
Because it shows the Boxer Rebellion. It shows, and 1970 Spike was hot.
I love Punky Spike.
Be still my heart.
It's true.
My God, all those safety pins. Ugh.
It's true. Anyway. He had great guy liner. It was,
oh my God.
It was a really good time for him.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Just totally watched that. Anyway.
In her free time. This
my
is God,
just like, that's my screensaver. it's beautiful. But I just liked it because, and also like the mirroring of things where mm-hmm. he would like be twirling the metal pipe in the train.
Yes.
And then you would cue great. To 19 whatever, like mm-hmm. modern, quote unquote, modern Spike. And he was twirling that pool cue. Mm-hmm. And he was telling Buffy's like, it doesn't matter. Like,
yeah. It had great editing when he like claps his hands and then he it was wonderfully edited. That was a great sequence.
Yeah, it's amazing. And when he's like, here endeth the lesson, I was just like blown away. I was mm-hmm. like, oh my God,
it's a great episode.
And plus we still got to see, you know, Angel mm-hmm. and Darla and Drusilla. I love Drusilla too, but
yeah,
I thought that was fantastic.
It was a great episode.
It's my favorite.
It's in my top 10 for sure. It's a great episode. And I love how the episodes across seasons pair with each other. Mm-hmm. So like you get that sort of story in Fool for Love, and then we go back in like Lies My Parents Told Me and we meet like his mom and we see their relationship pre and post vamping mm-hmm. for him and for her, and like how that screwed him up because of his mother issues and like what becoming a vampire did to her.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's dark.
I love episodes that go into that where they explore what your personality becomes after mm-hmm. it's been warped by the demon
mm-hmm.
because in Buffy you lose your soul and the vampire takes over, but it's like still you.
Mm-hmm.
So it like twists your personality in the worst possible ways.
It's genius.
It is, because it turns Angel into, you know, from a drunken layabout loser to like this psychotic, so like a
serial killer. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody who was not very caring towards women.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns into this like lunatic.
Yeah.
Who tortures women for fun. Mm-hmm. And for Spike, he goes from being a mama's boy
who's got his heart like utterly broken, but is still like really sensitive.
Yeah. But you still see little bits of William show through
mm-hmm.
and you still see little bits of Liam show through. Mm-hmm. And so I love
that. Yeah, it's great. And even like Drusilla, you see it shine mm-hmm. right through. Like she was tortured as a human because she was super Catholic, but she had this like gift of second sight and everyone thought it was evil. Mm-hmm. So she was going to go become a nun. And that's what made Liam obsessed with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was like, yes, that's my project. Mm-hmm. So crazy. Then he like kills her little sisters right in front of her and basically like turns her insane and then turns her into a vampire who does what? Loves dolls,
mm-hmm.
tortures people, is psychic, and is like this weird sort of sexual creature, but also very childlike at the mm-hmm. same time and damaged in a lot of ways. And that's just, that progression is just so brilliant.
Yeah, I love that. Even the monsters are multifaceted. Mm-hmm. So, and even later on, like when Spike is kind of one of the Scoobies, he's like bad, but he's not. Yeah.
And they even comment on it like, you think you're bad, but like Don's like, I feel safe with you. And he's like, shut your mouth. Don't you say that.
Yeah. So I love when they explore the backstories of the vampires because it's fascinating.
Yeah. Oh, they're great. It's a great ensemble cast, which I think is one of its many, many strengths.
Yeah.
Is that you can pick any individual character and you can follow their story and they develop and they change and they're different from the beginning to the end.
Oh, yeah.
And they all have like struggles and demons that they deal with, external, internal. Like they have a journey. Every single character journeys.
Yes. I love that. And the other relationship that I was really taken with was Xander and Willow.
Yeah. Oh, they're because so cute.
I loved that they had been friends forever. Mm-hmm. And Buffy's kind of like the outsider.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that comes back and like affects her psychologically, yeah. where she's like, I'm not really part of your group. Like yeah. you have this thing. Even Cordy mm-hmm. has like known them longer.
Yeah.
Even though they hated her, it's like there's this little piece of their friendship missing. And yeah. she has that like little bit of doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that it kind of it just adds like this human element to it because mm-hmm. it's like Willow gets jealous of Buffy because, well, why does Xander like her and not me?
Yeah, he doesn't even see her as a girl.
Yeah, because they've been friends for so long mm-hmm. that he just doesn't register that Willow is an option.
Yeah.
And
which also, can I mention something about Xander from Restless?
Please do.
He, once she is gay mm-hmm. and in love with Tara, that's when she shows up all sexy in his dreams. Can I just say how screwed up that is for yeah. a second?
It is.
I have a lot of feelings about Xander.
Right, but that's why I like Xander, because he, I think, is one of the most realistic characters. Yeah. Because he's an obnoxious teenage mm-hmm. boy.
Joss has said, like, Xander is me.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much Joss as a teenager in Xander.
Real. Because, mm-hmm. like, yeah, you get a crush on the new girl, and you don't always pay attention mm-hmm. to the girl who's always been there, and you're just kind of like the hyena episode that like spoke Ooh, volumes.
That episode is so deep.
Yeah.
When you really stop, like it sounds ridiculous, but if you watch it
oh, yeah.
a couple times, that is a deep episode.
It is. And I always love his, I can't remember. Yeah. Season 7, when he's telling Dawn, he's like, we're actually the yeah. amazing ones.
Because like, no one sees us and because we're not special.
Yeah, he's like, you could fit Oz in my shaving kit and he was a werewolf. And, you know, Spike does all these things and Buffy's strong and Willow's magical. But, like, we're just regular people.
Mm-hmm. That speech makes me cry.
I know.
It makes me cry. It gives me so many feelings.
I know. I cry every time he does that because it's mm-hmm. like, oh my God, you're so right.
It's
so.
Like one of the times, one of the handful of times when I actually love Xander. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why can't you be like this all the time?
Because he's a dude.
But then if you read the comics, he ends up with Dawn, and that's Ew. Just weird. And like, he ruined it. He ruined the speech.
I didn't go down the comic road, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, that freaked me out.
But you're right. That speech is...
It's so good.
It's wonderful. But Xander... I have mixed feelings about Xander.
Is it because that he hates vampires so much and he's kind of a twat about it?
I think that's part. It's a lot of things. It's the way, it's his like relationship to the women around him. It's a little bit weird for me at times. Like I get that it's real, but it makes me like, oh, Xander, just shut up, Xander.
When he left Anya at the altar, I was like, that's it. We're done here.
Like you're dead to me, Xander.
Yeah, dude. That was messed up.
Yeah. I didn't really like how he fangirled over Riley.
That was weird.
Kind of hate Riley.
Kind of. I kind of hate Riley. Riley.
I kind of hate Riley. So when Xander was immediately like, oh, I love him, I was like, I'm going to hate this dude.
It's because he's normal.
Well, and he's like an action figure come to life.
Yeah, I don't. Riley was a tool dude, but.
And I hated his friends, and I just. But can we talk in general, like overarching, about Buffy's romantic relationships?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that spoke to me as a teenager, mm-hmm. like so hard. We kind of talked about her romantic relationship with Angel and how that metaphor just like explodes off the screen and you're just like, whoa.
Yeah.
Especially if you're 16 too.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But... I feel like her varied relationships with the different male and female characters, like in her romantic relationships with the male characters on the show, feel so real.
Yeah.
They all feel different. And like, yet you can see that there's a pattern in her life that like slowly recognizes. Holy crap. I'm not happy unless I'm hurt. Unless I'm miserable.
Isn't that what she tells Spike, is I want you to hurt me?
Yeah, like that's the whole impetus. Like that's how her depression comes out in season 6, is through that like semi-abusive like weirdness. With Spike, and she's like, I don't want to trust you. I don't want to love you. And it's ironic because like at that point he kind of does love her, but he knows he has to be that
I mean, kind of. I'm going to argue that. He loved her.
In like a really messed up way, though. Well, but it comes out in such a warped
hear
way.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Insofar as a vampire without a soul can love somebody.
Truth. Yes.
He totally did.
Yeah. But and it's a selfish, weird love.
Not in the end.
Not in the end.
When he goes out and gets his soul.
Once he gets his soul, it's a whole different story.
Unlike Angel, who had that thrust upon him, mm-hmm. and he just complained the whole time.
Yeah.
Spike saw that he hurt Buffy, and mm-hmm. he was like William inside of his yeah. head won out and was like, no, that is not how you mm-hmm. treat
yeah.
someone you love.
Right. If you want to be with the one you love, you have to be worthy.
Yeah.
So and what's the way to be worthy?
Voluntarily goes out and gets his soul. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, that's why I'm Team's Buffy. Like,
yeah, I mean, it was fucked up there for a while.
Well, absolutely, but I mean, again, he's a demon,
mm-hmm.
and she's got problems.
Yeah, she was really not in a good place at that time.
Right, but here's the other thing that I really liked about the show overall is like the romantic relationships were important, but they definitely were not the central plot.
Yeah,
except in season two.
Yeah, when it was the central plot because that was the origin of the big bad. Like, it yeah. needed to be central to right. the plot.
And it was just kind of like, even in the first season when it was like, hey, there's this hot guy, Angel, who like follows me around and he shows up and stuff and he saves me. That was not
right.
the point. And yeah. he didn't ever really need to save her.
No, she figured was, her shit out. She
was
care
saving
herself,
mm-hmm. and she yeah. saved his ass.
Mm-hmm. They saved each other, and that's what made them swoon for each other oh, so yeah. much. Like, that's part of what drew them to each other like magnets, even though they're literally supposed to be enemies.
Yeah. And I enjoyed it because it was more about the master, and it was more mm-hmm. about we have to defeat the thing that lives under the high school. And anytime Buffy and Angel would get carried away with like making eyes at each other, the other characters made fun of them.
Yeah, or the show made fun of them. Like,
I loved that.
The environment around them would be like, fuck that noise. Like, yeah. it was great.
I loved it because it was like, you know, as a teenage girl, that is like an important part oh, yeah. of your life. That's what you think about a lot of the time. But I loved that it wasn't the central part of the show. And even though it was kind of a love triangle, it was like not really a love triangle.
Yeah. I know we said we were going to talk about Angel. By Angel season 5, mm-hmm. it turned into a love triangle towards the end there. And I was just like, oh, let me roll my eyes a little bit. Like,
but I feel like
that's where they dip their toe a little too much into the...
I guess.
Like, I hate you. She loves me more. No, I'm her true love. Like that. She wasn't even there.
I understood why they were bickering, because that's just what they do.
They're such children.
And they're dudes, and they've been arguing with each other for like 150 years. Yeah, that's what they do, because mm-hmm. they fought over Darla. Yep. They fought over Drusilla.
Yeah, they fought over Drusilla. They fought over Buffy. They fought over Buffy again.
Yeah. So
but
I
then
get
they
that.
Get schooled by the immortal, which is just hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. I felt like at the end of Buffy, this was another thing that I griped about season 7 a little bit, was like, oh, look, Angel randomly shows up and saves her.
I know. He brings the amulet.
It was like all of a sudden it was all about Angel again, even though he hasn't been here for the last few years.
Yeah. And we thought they were kind of over it.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, you guys both seem to have moved on. Mm-hmm. And
she's had other relationships.
She's kind of with Spike in a way right now. And I just remember I saw, when Spike is hiding behind that pillar and he sees that whole thing go down, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, you feel bad for him.
I do, because it's just like, he went out and got his soul mm-hmm. for you, and he's been like batshit crazy in the basement feeling bad about all the things that he's done. And then Angel shows up and punches out one dude.
Mm-hmm. And she's all like, Angel. Oh, my God. Yeah. But I will say, A, I'm glad that it was Spike that got to wear the amulet, not Angel.
Yes.
Because it put him back in the hero driver's seat. B, I think that she kind of got dazzled for a minute, But then he didn't even stick around. No. Like, Angel didn't even stay.
What a biatch.
And I think that that kind of, like, brought her back to reality. Like, who is really here for me? Mm-hmm. It's not Angel.
Didn't she send him away, though? She was like, if this gets out of Sunnydale, like, I need you need to protect to go LA. Fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, he peaced out. He wasn't like, no, I'm going to fucking stay here and we're going to go down together.
Right.
Which I feel like is what Spike would have done.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and it was at the very, very end where he was like, go. It's okay. Like, you can go.
And, yeah, she's like, but you're going to die. And he's like, I know.
Like, it was a whole different kind of, like, reaction to the idea of ending yourself to save the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I feel like they stand in stark contrast to each other that way. And it makes me more Team Spike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I did like about the end of the series that she didn't end up with either one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She ended up kind of
on her
with
own.
With her like family. With yeah. the girls and like with everybody who was going to move on.
Yeah.
And like going to grow and continue to be different. And like they had this whole new journey that they had to yeah. be on.
Who is your favorite like tertiary character? Dibs on Oz.
Damn it. I really love Tara.
Oh,
I love Tara.
She's a sweetie.
She gives me like so many feelings, and I love her backstory of like her family and like everything that made her who she is. Like the stutter has a story. Her like introversion has a story, and you just get it in little bits, like here and there. Plus, she's related to Amy Adams. Just
I thought that was funny. Yeah,
but like the little pieces of her life that you can kind of put together, and what she is for Willow, what she is for Buffy in season 6,
like kind just, of motherly to Dawn.
I love it. I just there's nothing bad that I can say about Tara except that I friggin' hate
Warren.
For taking her away.
That was so sad.
And that just tells me, like, how much I love Tara. Like, the pain that I feel over the way that her character left the show. Never to return. It just tells me, like, how deeply I felt for her.
Yeah.
I just love her. She's just a wonderful, like, centering heart. Mm-hmm. To the Scoobies, to like, she's a touchstone for Willow, but she doesn't take any crap either. Like, she knows
right
when she needs to stick up for herself, and her journey is wonderful. I just I love her.
Well, and I also liked that when Buffy was going through season 6 issues with Spike, she didn't turn to Xander.
Yeah,
she didn't turn to Willow. She went to Tara.
She knew. And what was Tara's reaction?
It's okay,
sweetie. It's okay. I'm not going to judge you. And I think she knew that Tara was like the safe place.
Oh yeah.
To take that emotional turmoil. I love Tara.
So many feels.
She's wonderful. You said Oz. Dibs on Oz.
He's great too. I love Oz.
He's great.
I've always had a thing for werewolves, first of all.
Wait, not Twilight werewolves,
no,
right?
No.
With really bad hair. And
No. I mean, just like the idea of a werewolf, and it's like I love Remus Lupin too. It's the same thing where it's like you could be this totally calm, chill, awesome person.
Yeah.
And then the moon comes out and you're like a big dog.
But kind of a mean dog.
That, like, eats people and stuff. So
not a nice dog, necessarily.
And I just enjoyed that at first when he's introduced, he's this regular dude.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing phases Oz, ever.
It's true.
Which I just get a kick out of because, like, you live in Sunnydale, you see some weird shit, no doubt.
Yep.
And I think the moment that I fell in love with him was when he, during the job fair... and Buffy like pushes him up against the wall and she's like, just try it. And he's like, try what? Because she thinks he's an assassin and he's not.
He's like, what? What are you talking about? I'm just
and then she like walks away and he goes, that is a tense person. And I liked that he saw Willow as a beautiful girl instead of like
totally loved her
instead of like the little nerdy girl that everybody else thought she was. And you saw him in the background of several episodes.
Yeah, his little misconnection.
He was always trying to like, who's that girl? And precious. He was always trying to meet Willow. And then it, you know, I loved it.
So precious.
And I just love that he was so mellow. Yeah. It cracked me up. And even like when they think they're all going to die and Willow was like, would you panic or freak out or something? And he's like, yeah, okay. And they sleep together and she's like, what are you doing? And he's like, panicking.
Yeah.
And I was like, aw.
Like, you're right. He's a great character, too.
He's cute. And I did like that he left for her benefit.
It hurts me. So deep. It hurts me real deep.
But to me, that showed that he loved her that much.
Yeah. But then when he comes back, she's already with Tara.
But see, I liked that he was like, no, I'm Zen. It's cool. I can control this change now. And I just, why do you smell like someone else? And that was when he like flipped out and turned into a werewolf. And he was
went after Tara.
Yeah. And he's like, I can't be here anymore because if I can't control myself around Willow, then it's a bad deal.
It was seriously deep.
It was.
It was really deep.
Mm-hmm. And I liked that it kind of made Willow question her sexuality again.
Mm-hmm. She was like, how can I love both of you?
Yeah. Which, like, by the way, blast you can be bisexual. Just saying.
But it was the 90s. I know. It was hard. I guess then it was like 2000. Yeah. But they tried.
They did. But I enjoyed that. So I liked Oz a lot.
Oz is a great character.
Plus it was funny to see him interact with like the other monsters. That just cracked me up.
He's like, yeah, I'm kind of a, you wouldn't really like me, like, if you saw me the way, I know I look like not a whole lot, but.
Yeah, because, like, Seth Green is, like, this little tiny human being, like, 5'3" or something. And I like Buffy's birthday party. And the vampire comes in through the window and she dusts him. And Willow looks at Oz and is like, oh, and vampires are real. And he goes, well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, he's like, whoa, yeah. Now, like, I get it. Like,
not just, even phased.
Nope. He just accepts it as a part of his reality. Kind of like when he finds out, like, hey, Auntie, whoever her name is, do you have something to tell me about Jordy? about my cousin? Well, guess what? Kind of a werewolf now.
Oh, yeah. He like bit his finger.
Guess that's a thing I have to deal with.
Yeah.
He's just great.
How do you feel about Giles?
I love Giles. I love Giles. He's such a complex character.
I liked the introduction of Ripper.
Yeah.
I did not see that. I was like, oh, he's going to be like this boring librarian dude who watches over them. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's like his job. And then they're like, surprise.
Yeah. Surprise. He's got a friggin' dark past. He's morally gray. He can legit murder a human. Hi, Ben. He can legit murder a human and be like, I did it because I didn't want anyone else to have to do it. I knew that I was the one that had to do it.
Oh my God.
Just like, he's so deep. He's just such a great character. I love his relationship with Buffy. I love how heartbreaking it is when he leaves and then, like, she dies and he leaves and then he comes back and she's like all that, like, leaving and coming and going. Like, I just, it's so true to how a father and his growing adult daughter are. Like, it just feels so true. Like, you want to be there for her. You want to help her. She makes bad choices and you're like, okay, I'm not going to judge you for your choices, but like, we should talk about this and how can I help you and how can I support you? Like, oh, best dad ever. I just.
Yeah. And he filled that role because her dad wasn't there.
And her dad's kind of a jerk.
Yeah.
Didn't even show up when her mom died.
Yeah.
Just saying.
A-hole. I really like Giles and him versus Angelus was also entertaining. Ooh,
that was a lot.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Yeah,
that whole deal in the warehouse, my goodness.
That was Ripper. Like, 100%. Like, just the switch flipped and he's like, I'm gonna go kill his ass.
Yeah.
Let me go get my flamethrower and my big ass axe.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna take care of some business right now.
And I just love how like unassuming and like nerdy dorky he looks. And then boom, busts out the chainsaw for getting into the frat house. Like,
even though he was just like wearing like
a sombrero,
a Mexican poncho.
Oh my gosh. I never knew how much I needed that until he was wielding a chainsaw and a poncho, and it was just amazing. But I also liked that, yeah, he would leave because he couldn't deal, and then he would come back. And I liked when Dark Willow poked fun at him and was like, oh, daddy's home.
Yeah.
And I was like, you forget that he actually is really good with magic.
He's really powerful. He knows a coven.
Yeah.
He set your ass up.
As one does.
He's smarter than you. He set your ass up. He knew you well enough to know how to come prepared to beat you.
And I liked that he was willing to take on the Watchers Council when needed. He was always ready to put Wesley in his place.
Mm-hmm. Wesley's a great character, too.
I love Wesley. But Wesley's he's more on Angel. Wesley's a
great character. But yeah, his real like changes happen on Angel. Yeah,
same with Cordy. Mm-hmm. Like, she was cool and all, but she does most of her growth on Angel. But
helpless, man. Just that episode. Like, when I think about Giles, that is one of the standout episodes to me because of how tough their relationship was.
Yeah.
Like, it shows his loyalties and like his connection to her. And it just, it gives me so many feels. And I cry through that episode every time. I can't help it. It makes me. It cuts me so deep. I don't know.
I think the one that gets me the most is the body.
Yeah.
That's with Joyce.
That's a great episode.
It's silent. There's no background music and everybody deals with it differently. Like, Willow can't decide what to wear.
And Anya's speech about like, she'll never brush her hair again and she'll never like drink a juice box again or whatever.
We're not supposed to talk about it. She's like, I don't understand why she can't just get back into her body. And I'm like crying my eyes out. It's and Xander puts a hole through the wall and it's
just a brilliant episode.
And when Giles says like, some things aren't magical, some things just happen. And it was like, yeah, nothing. It wasn't even anything supernatural that took out Buffy's mom. It was an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm. Even though they were looking for something to be supernatural, which again brings back in the plot because that's how she learns about Dawn. She's looking for something supernatural, something she can fight to save her mom. Yeah. And she can't.
And then she's like going to kill Dawn because she's like, what did you do to my mom?
It's just so... Oh, there's just so much.
So much.
I don't love everything. I definitely don't love everything.
No. How do you feel about Buffy herself, though?
She speaks to me a lot. Like, I was not her ever in my life. Like, I was never the cheerleader. I was more the Willow.
Same.
Than the Buffy. Like, but she just feels so both like superhero and human at the same time to me. And that is a magical combination. Like, that makes me love her. Even when she does something stupid that I don't agree with. And I'm like, what the hell, girl? What did you just do? Mm-hmm. Or they write something in and I'm like, why would you do that to her character? Like, even at those moments, I still feel like her realness shines brightly through any like small thing.
Okay.
Overall, I still she's one of my favorite characters.
Ooh, excuse me. I hiccuped. I am not her biggest fan because I have a hard time with people who have hero complexes.
Sure. She definitely does. She's not perfect.
No. And so I enjoy her as a character because I feel like she's pretty realistic. She's got an interesting relationship with her mom. I, too, would be irritated if I had a little sister like that.
That's true. That's a good point.
Like, watching her try to balance these things, because, yeah, slayers don't get a paycheck. Mm-hmm. So trying to work at a fast food restaurant and take care of her little sister so they don't take Dawn away.
Yeah, because you had to quit college because your mom died.
Yeah, and
that shit's hard. Yeah, that's life.
You have complicated relationships with men / demons and
yeah,
all of these things and just trying to take it all on. Yeah, I can understand how that would be overwhelming and terrible and awful. But there are times when she pushes people away where it's like, no, you need Giles's help. You need Xander. You need Willow right now. And that's okay because everybody needs, you know, same thing with Harry Potter when he pushes away Ron and Hermione. Sometimes I want to just slap him and be like, excuse you.
Shut up. They're your friends.
Nobody can do anything alone.
Yeah.
Hashtag teamwork. So.
But I think that's part of her journey.
Yeah.
Is to realize, like, to have those moments of, like, that's why there's no prophecy about the Slayer and her friends. That's why y'all just get in my way and you get killed and you get hurt and I just can't deal. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that makes her fallible. She's not perfect. She's on a journey too. And that's part, like, it makes her more endearing to me. I don't know. I feel like you had the opposite. Like, I don't like that about her. I love that about her because she's flawed. I love a flawed hero.
Well, agree. Point taken. I just, the way that she pushes people away is like, okay, you can take it down a notch. Like, you don't need to be an asshole about this.
Especially in season 7.
Yeah. And, like, it's okay to be like, hey, guys, we need to talk. That's okay.
Yeah.
Present your argument. Get out of PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. Whatever. But.
A whiteboard.
Yeah.
It was 2002. Yeah, it was a whiteboard.
Sorry. Or that slide projector. Hush. Yeah. But you don't need to be a bitch. And you don't need to be like, hey, I'm better than all of you. And you guys are just holding me back. And like, there's no need to hurt their feelings.
Yeah. And I think that is part of her issue. Like, she's got a lot of issues.
Totally.
But that's, like, part of her issue is that she gets this, like, puffed up, like, I'm the leader. I'm in charge. Or, like, I know best. I know better than Giles. I know better than Faith. I know better than everybody. And that puts her in situations that have serious consequences. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's part of the magic of the story to me. It might frustrate me. Like, as a viewer, I'm like, oh, just shut the fuck up right now.
Yeah.
But, like, it – stop it. Just stop it. But it it feeds the story. Like, it
– Yeah.
It's part of her hard knocks of growing up.
Okay.
You know, I feel like it's like she wouldn't be the same person if she didn't make those boneheaded choices that you're like, just want to slap you in the face right now. She wouldn't be who she is.
I do like her puns.
She's really funny.
I do like that. And I do like that she goes hunting or slaying and,
in like heels, like a white shirt. Like, what are you doing?
And she's like got cute little hairstyles and stuff.
Yeah, she thinks she can have it all.
Yeah.
And she can, but, like, it's a rough going. Like, it's rough. And I feel like that just speaks to me so much as, like, a modern woman.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's hard to be like, I got the boyfriend, I got the job, I got the family, I got the whole thing, and, like, I can't have it all. But wait, I am, like, freaking out and coming apart at the seams right now. That's so real.
I know. Damn, Joss.
Now I feel like I just want to go watch Buffy.
I was going to say, I could talk about this all night.
I know.
And I would. I don't know if you can hear the frogs in the background.
It is now night, guys. Yeah, we've been talking this whole time.
Yeah. Yeah. But I could talk about that, like, all day. And, like, I want to read Joss Whedon, like, the book about Joss Whedon, the biography of him. Because I think it goes more in-depth about the inspiration and all these things.
Yes.
And I'm stoked to read it. Maybe we'll add that to our book list.
Yeah, something speaking to look forward to. Oh, yeah. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, Nerdy Book Club, second edition.
Numero dos.
We're going to talk about Ready Player One.
Yes, by Ernst Cline.
If you haven't read it, please go read it now. It's going to be adapted into a movie with Simon Pegg.
With Simon Pegg, you guys.
Which is all I ever wanted. And it's about, like, a dystopian future, and there's this kid, and it's all, like, everything's become virtual reality because the real world fucking sucks.
Ain't that the truth?
If you like, yeah, it's a little too close for comfort sometimes. If you like 80s nostalgia or video game mm-hmm. things. I don't even like video games, and I was sucked into this book like, whoa.
Yeah, it's got something for everybody. You will love it, even if like video games aren't your thing, even if like dystopia isn't your thing, like anything that we might have just said that mm-hmm. turns you off. Don't focus on that. Just read it anyway.
Give it a go.
Yeah. It's so great.
Yeah. We've both already read it, but we're going to talk about that. And it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so fun. Yeah. It's a great book. So much to mine. So I'm excited to do that next week.
Exactly. So until then.
Hashtag Buffy Slays 20.
Yeah. Team's Buffy.